This is the first discourse in a new series, Thoughts on Ezra and Nehemiah. But I'm not going to start with a chapter from the book of Ezra. I'm going to start with Psalm 137. Psalm 137, verses 1 to 9, perhaps especially verses 1 to 6. Thoughts on Ezra and Nehemiah, the background. The background. That's why I've chosen Psalm 137. I want to paint the picture of the Hebrews, the Jews, Judah, at the time we start to read the book of Ezra. I'm taking Ezra and Nehemiah together. They form sort of one unit in Scripture there. But let me say immediately that these discourses will not give you a critical commentary on the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. I dare say there are issues here. There are historical problems. We have to try and sort the passages out and so on. This is not my intention. I don't like the word devotional, but I'm trying to give a practical, simple, short discourse, thoughts on Ezra and Nehemiah, and first of all, the background. You see, when we pick up the book of Ezra, when we get into the book of Nehemiah, we're going to meet the people of Judah, after 70 years in captivity, in bondage, in slavery, really, in subjection, in subjugation in Babylon. I mean, this must be an awful experience. It must have been a dreadful time. I suppose the nearest equivalent would have been something like Poland in the Second World War, and then, of course, in the Cold War when the Russians dominated them. What is it like to be a subjugated people? Well, let's read, let's remind ourselves. This is what the Jews recorded in Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars or the willows we hung our harps, for our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors, think of that word, tormentors, demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. You can hear them mocking and laughing and scorning. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not consider Jerusalem, you see, my highest joy. We're in the Old Covenant here. Jerusalem, the temple, is in ruins. And these people, for 70 years, have been languishing in Babylon. What led this to come about? What was it brought this about? Why such misery? Well, was it military defeat? Yes, it was. But that's not the reason. It was defection from the covenant. It was apostasy from the law. It was rebellion against God in his word. The prophets come over and over and over again saying this. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Micah, all these, Hosea, all these men are pleading with Israel to come back to the covenant, to come back to the law. Read the history of the kings. As for Israel, there isn't one good king among them. As for Judah, most of them are downhill and sinful and apostate all the way, but there are a few exceptions. But if you look at the history of Israel and Judah, right from the Exodus, they wanted to go back to Egypt, paganism, defection from the covenant, idolatry. And God brought them into judgment. He warned them. Israel would go to Assyria, and they did. Judah would go to Babylon, and by the waters of Babylon, by the rivers of Babylon, we had to weep. Terrible misery. And they have a sad remembrance of it all. They're in torment, they're in a foreign land. Ezekiel 9:4, they grieve and lament over it all. What's our interest in this? Is it historical, antiquarian? Not at all, it's practical. 1 Corinthians 10, the writer, the apostle there, Paul writing to the Corinthians, he says, now, you remember the history of the Jews. Remember the history of Israel. And don't make their mistakes. You see, my brothers and sisters, you know what I'm going to say. I've said it so many times. I've written about it. I've tried to preach about it. What am I going to say? I believe that the evangelical world is by and large, increasingly anyway, copying the mistakes of Judah and Israel. We are defecting from the covenant, not the old covenant, but the new. We are breaking the law, not the law of Moses. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the law of Christ. We're going to the world, to paganism. How do you do it? How do you run your affairs? How are you successful? Let's copy that. And churches are becoming more and more carnal, more and more debased, more and more like the world. And God says, read Revelation 2 and 3, read church history and see. God says it won't go on. I will visit in judgment. I will remove candlesticks. These people, read Psalm 137, they're hopeless, they're helpless, and they've had it for 70 years. Oh, this is alarmist. We're not going to go into captivity. We're not going to go into bondage. The candlestick's not going to be taken away from us. We're booming. Look at the attendance. We've got esteemed buildings. We can't get enough room. Oh, it's going like a house of fire. Alarmist talk. That's exactly what they said about prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. They said to Amos, you go down back south and preach down there. They put Jeremiah in prison. They put Micaiah in prison. They put some to death. Anything. To have the smooth, pleasant prophets. And Paul warns about it. The time will come when men will not listen to the truth. They'll turn their ears away from the truth. No, no, what will they want? They want smooth, pleasant things. And there are preachers, like prophets of old. Prophets tell us, God says, there are prophets who promise you all success and prosperity, and you listen to them. And it's the same, says Paul, in the New Covenant. That's what we want today. We want smooth, easy, boosting, pleasant preachers who tell us how well it's all going and boost our well-being and our good-feeling factor. That's what we want. We don't want reproof, rebuke, correction, instruction, confrontation. Where am I getting those words from? Well, I'm finding them in 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 to 17. That's what the Word of God is there for. And Paul says to Timothy, preach the Word. Confront them with the truth. They're lazy. They're blind. They don't see. Tell them. Tell them. We need such preachers today. I address elders listening to me. Learn from Psalm 137. Learn from Ezra and Nehemiah. Learn from the kings and the prophets. Learn. If you are going down this road, think and change your mind. Reform and repent. Repent and reform. I talk to all believers. I talk to myself. I challenge myself individually, personally, family, church, whatever it might be. These are deadly serious matters. These are not to be brushed under the carpet and pushed aside as alarmist. The word of God is written, 1 Corinthians 10, that we might heed and not make the mistakes of Israel and Judah. May God speak to us as we go through Ezra and Nehemiah. Yes, a better day is coming in Ezra and Nehemiah. But we'll see all about that. But before we get to the Ezra and Nehemiah, let's have the background fully written in our hearts and minds. This is what we must avoid. Else we shall have to go down this route ourselves. May God speak to us as we go through Ezra and Nehemiah. And may we be given hearts to hear, to believe, and obey. Amen.